This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Coming up on 100 years ago now, late May 1916, the Brits and the French drew up a new map of the Middle East. It became known as the Sykes-Picot Agreement after the two men who did the map drawing. And to this very day, power brokers in the region say it's still the root of the violence and the chaos there. Robin Wright is a contributing writer at The New Yorker. Her most recent piece is called How the Curse of Sykes-Picot Still Haunts the Middle East. Robin, thanks for coming on.
Great to be with you.
Introduce us to these two men, would you, Mark Sykes and François Picot?
Mark Sykes was a British diplomat, ran in the inner circles in London. He traveled the same circles as T.E. Lawrence of Arabia. He was a very young man when he died of a flu epidemic in 1919. His cohort in diplomatic crime was François-Georges Picot, who was a kind of obscure figure. There's very little graphical material about him. But the two men helped begin the process of defining the modern Middle East during World War I.
And they did it arbitrarily. There's a great line in this piece. You quote Sykes, I think, saying, "I would like to draw a straight line from the E in Acre, or Acre, however you pronounce it, to the K in Kirkuk, and just draw a border there."
A straight line stretching from a part of the world that it begins what is today Israel's Mediterranean coast all the way to the mountains of northern Kurdistan in Iraq. And, of course, those were not the borders that ended up defining the region, but they began the process. And, of course, the two men, because they decided how to carve up the Ottoman Empire after World War I, are still to this day, a century later, blamed for what happened.
And we, and by we I mean we the United States, we the global economy, we countries in the Middle East, forget human lives, of which there have been thousands and thousands. We're spending billions and billions of dollars to enforce these lines on a map drawn 100 years ago this spring.
And that's one of the great quandaries of U.S. policy today, because it is increasingly clear that some of those states may not survive. They are already fading, and in the case of Syria, failing. And, of course, it plays to some of the ethnic and sectarian differences that have existed since the borders were drawn up a century ago. And they are, with the removal of dictators, with the disintegration of societies during civil wars, reemerging as sources of identity, and may be a key to what lies after these wars hopefully someday end.
Well, what do you think needs to happen in, just to pick the two most glaring examples, Iraq and Syria, what needs to happen to have long-term stability after Sykes-Picot is erased from the map?
Well, we don't know that it's going to be erased from the map. I mean,
The
United States, the international community, even the Russians and Iranians are all pouring billions of dollars into preserving these borders. The United States now spends $11 million a day in its military operations in Iraq. And I think the current focus is now on defeating ISIS and getting rid of a scourge that has challenged the regimes inside the country, created the greatest humanitarian crisis since World War II that is now spilling over not just across countries, but across continents. So this is the phenomena that I think the United States and its allies in the coalition are now focused on, and that they understand that if there is to be a political solution in Iraq or in Syria, that those parties have to define it, unlike the days of Sykes and Picot.
Robin Wright, her piece on Sykes-Picot is in The New Yorker, for which she is a contributing writer. Robin, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.